Good morning, Severn. How are we doing? Come on in from the back if you can, so we can get started. I do want to continue to apologize for the fact that we still are low tech. We don't have our countdown clock and one of our TVs is down. For those of you who don't know, we suffered a pretty severe power surge a couple of weeks ago. But we're working with the insurance company. We're getting it done and hopefully we'll be back in business here very, very shortly. Some of our men were away at the men's retreat. Looks like most of them have come back. I know it's always a good time. We have fun, we have fellowship, we have reflection, and yeah, a lot of sports. Women, maybe you don't have as much fun as the guys do. I do also hope that you celebrated your Independence Day last week well. You know, the rain on Monday may have put a little damper on things, but you know what? It's a day off, right? It's a day off. But you know, on a more solemn note, we need to recognize that our world is changing. And the freedom that we all take for granted each and every day is being challenged by those who would destroy it in the name of their religion. Or on the name of political correctness or hatred, as we have seen played out here on the home front in Minneapolis and in Dallas in the past couple of days. So I hope you not only celebrated your 4th of July with hot dogs and fireworks and watermelon, I hope that you took time to reflect on the price that was paid and continues to be paid each and every day to preserve our freedom. I hope that you took time to pray for this nation. More than ever, our nation needs our prayers. So, I'm Mark Rossi. I'm one of the elders here at Severn. If this is your first time, I want to welcome you. I'm so glad that you decided to spend an hour or so with us today. We're here in week 15, as Aaron said, in our series from the book of Colossians called Following Jesus. And in case you're wondering what's happened to the mysterious Pastor Ryan, who's hiding there behind up in the back, he is finished moving into his new house. Amen. He's now back from the mansion. Doesn't mean he's done. He just moved in. Been quite a project. He's finished with the men's retreat, and he will, I promise, be back up here in the saddle next week as we continue in this series. Amen. Don't get too excited. You just got to get past me first. So today's scripture is from chapter 4 of the book of Colossians, and it's only three verses 2 through 4. So let's turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4 as we read. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. If I asked for a show of hands, and I won't, I promise, how many of you would say with conviction that you are devoted to prayer? Devoted to prayer. Devotion is usually characterized by a razor-sharp focus or a commitment to a cause or to a pursuit or a purpose of something. Real devotion, however, usually comes with significant sacrifice. Athletes are a good example, especially as we look toward next month. I'm sure some of you are Olympic. You like the Olympics that's coming up in Rio. Many of us will be glued to our TVs in August as we watch our favorite sports played out, some like volleyball, some like gymnastics, some like basketball and track and field. But whatever it is, you'll be glued. But why? What about all those athletes that have devoted themselves for many, many years to perfect their sport? How many of you remember a Russian figure skater by the name of Evgeny Plushenko. Do you remember him? This is a guy that became one of the most decorated men in men's figure skating in the history of figure skating. He won more medals and more championships. He was only rivaled by some guy in the 1920s. So for all those years, he achieved more than any other male figure skater. He, however, when he was young, at age 4, he was a very sickly boy, very sickly, caught lots of colds, and his mom and dad decided, you know what, we've got to get this kid healthy, so we're going to put him in sports, and the sport they chose was men's figure skating. At the age of 4, they pick up their family, and they move to a little town in Russia called Volgograd. It was in the Soviet Union at the time, and they went there because, guess what, that town had a skating rink. And by the age of 7, he won his first competition. But that skating rink closed down. So his parents made a big decision. At the age of 11, they moved him 1,000 miles from home to St. Petersburg, Russia, where he studied under this great coach. Can you imagine at age 11 being 1,000 miles away from your mother and your father? They couldn't afford to be there. Their friends and their family, everybody they knew, all because of a devotion to your sport. Well, that's what Plushenko did. He competed in 4 separate Olympics, and he won all kinds of medals in those Olympics. But you know what? His sacrifice wasn't just living away from his parents 1,000 miles from home. It wasn't just the hours and hours of time he put in perfecting his sport. Plushenko, most people didn't know, had severe back problems. He underwent 12 surgeries during his Olympic career. At one point in time in 2013, it was a year before the 2014 Olympics, the last time he competed. He actually had a disc replaced or something like that. It was so debilitating to him. He said that when he was done with the surgery, he could barely get out of bed. He could barely walk. The first time he put on skates, he felt like the 4-year-old that he had left back in Volgograd. But you know what? 2014's Olympics, Winter Olympics, was where? It was in Sochi, Russia. He had the opportunity to represent his country at the Winter Olympics, and he was going to do it. This guy, who could barely walk, worked 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he, yes, did qualify for the 2014 Olympics. He helped his team achieve a gold medal in the team part of the sport. But unfortunately, when he went to practice right before his individual event, he hurt his back yet again. And as the crowds cheered, you may remember this, on national television, he's announced their hero in Russia. As the crowds cheered, he skates out on the ice, and he realizes that he couldn't do it. All the devotion to his sport, all of the training could not get him past that event. He walked up to the judge's table, and he withdrew from the Olympics that day. This man spent 27 years of his life from age 4 till the moment he walked off that ice, devoted to his sport. Devoted to his sport. Paul says that we are to devote ourselves to prayer. Did Plushenko become a 4-time Olympic medal winner by treating figure skating as an afterthought? Or was he devoted to every facet of his sport? never allowing his circumstances to bring him down. What would it be like if we were devoted to prayer with such vigor? If devotion like that were channeled to prayer, as Paul commands here in the fourth chapter of Colossians, is there anything that we could not do in the will of God? So how are we to pray? What effects would a life devoted to prayer, what effects would it be? What effects would it have on us? Well, I think Paul answers that question in these short verses in chapter 4. Today, it's going to be a four-pointer. I can't do it in two or one like Ryan does, so get out a sharp pencil. We're going to hit the ground running. My first point today is that we are to pray with watchfulness. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it. He instructs us to be alert or to be watchful, as some translations record it. How many of you are boaters? There's got to be some boaters here. Come on, I know they're there. If you crossed over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge over the 4th of July, you saw a bunch of them out there. You could almost walk across the water on them. I was one of them. I must admit that I have one hobby outside of devotion to my family and this church and work. I love to sail. There's just absolutely nothing like it. But while it's a lot of fun and it gives me a lot of peace, it's my little sanctuary, there are some serious responsibilities tied to piloting a sailboat in the basically shallow waters of the Chesapeake Bay. You know, you have to be on your guard. You have to have updated navigation charts. You have to have a good understanding of your boat and its limitations. You have to have an accurate weather forecast to make sure you're not going to get caught in a storm unaware. You have to know the rules of the road. There are a lot of crazy people out there, especially on the 4th of July. If you don't know the rules of the road, you could end up in a collision. You have to have, most importantly, though, a watchful eye. You always have to be on watch. And you have to have a healthy respect for the sea. But more than anything, you need to stay alert. You can never let your guard down. You need to be watchful, because conditions can change in an instant. Those conditions could be weather, they could be other boats, all kinds of things could happen. They could change in an instant. So you need to be watchful. You need to draw on all of those skills to safely navigate from point A to point B, or else you could find yourself aground on a shoal or on a collision course with another vessel or caught up in a storm with your sails fully out when there's no time to pull them in. How often have we found ourselves without direction? How often, even worse, have we found ourselves going in the wrong direction? Paul here is revealing to us that prayer keeps us watchful. It keeps us alert to God's will, lest we drift off course and run aground. To be watchful. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that we need to work at every single day to keep us on the right course, to keep us moving in the right direction for our own spiritual growth and for our own protection. Without prayer, we often find ourselves completely adrift at sea, controlled by our circumstances, directionless, or as I said before, going in the wrong direction without a means to turn ourselves around. Has anybody ever felt this way before? Would I ever attempt to go to an unfamiliar port, even on the bay, without looking at the charts ahead of time and making note of all the markers that I needed to navigate through? Of course not. I would never think of putting myself or my crew or my friends or my family in any kind of danger. So why do we think that we can go through life without checking in with God? Why do we think that we can go through life without his constant direction? The God who created us, who knows everything about us, who counts the hairs on our head, even though some of us are not keeping up with that so much. So what else does Paul tell us in this passage? That brings me to point two. Paul tells us that we are to pray with thankfulness. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. How easy is it to be thankful living in America, living in the wealthiest nation in the world, where we're still free to worship as we like, where we're still able to achieve whatever we want to do as long as we're willing to work really hard at it. How easy is it to be thankful to God when our bellies are full and our houses are warm in the winter and cool in the summer? How easy is it to be thankful to God when he pours out his blessings on us and he answers on our prayers in a way that pleases us? When times are good and things are going well. I know that many of you don't feel like that at all. Many of you are going through suffering beyond anything that I can imagine. For you, you're not sure how you're going to make it through this very day. The Apostle Paul could relate to what you're saying, what you're feeling when he wrote this letter to the church at Colossae. Because he was imprisoned in Rome. He was bound in chains. He was under constant guard. Paul had suffered beatings. He had suffered a stoning. Anyone who looked on his beaten and broken body knew that he had suffered and he'd paid the price for his faith. Few people suffered more for the gospel than the Apostle Paul. In spite of that, in spite of everything that he had been through, he tells us here that we are to pray with thankfulness. Do you journal? Do you take the time to record those little things that God does for you every single day, let alone the big ones? I wish I could tell you that I do that diligently, though I try. But boy, it is amazing when you do. Because when you feel down, when you feel at your lowest point, when you feel that God is not hearing your prayer and God's not answering your prayer, you go back and you read all the things that God has done for you in the past. And it's encouraging. It's amazing the little tiny things that God's interested in our lives and how he answers prayer each and every day. When we pray, we must pray with thankfulness to the God who knew us before we were conceived and chose us to be adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. Do you realize who we're praying to? Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? So what else does Paul tell us? My third point is we are to pray with dependence. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us for the message. Paul tells us that we're to pray that God would open a door. You see, when we pray, we must first understand that we can do nothing without him. We are totally reliant on God. In seeking God in prayer, we must first think of when we are in trouble, that we are dependent on him. We're dependent on him for every breath that we breathe. We're not to think of him as an afterthought, as we all too often do. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know. But personally, I find prayer the most difficult spiritual discipline to hone well. You know, my mom told me, she raised me and said, son, if you want it done right, do it yourself. Anybody else told that when you were raised? You know, I must admit, I depend on my abilities a lot. God has blessed me. I've had a lot of experience, a lot of years of knowledge. I've had a great opportunity at work, education. I've achieved much by His grace, but all too often I find myself trusting in my abilities rather than the one who gave them to me in the first place. And now I know I'm not alone here. I know there's some overachievers here as well in this room. But no matter how much we think we can trust in our abilities, more often than not, and I can stand here as a testimony to you, they become a handicap to us. You know, my daughters are new drivers. Olivia has her license, and Amanda has her learner's permit. And I know we have a lot of families here at Severn with young kids. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you blink, your kids will be driving too. And I'm not talking about Fisher-Price Hot Wheels. Though I can remember that too. Olivia and Amanda in their little pink Barbie Fisher-Price Hot Wheels racing up the driveway. Their little battery-operated wheels. No, I'm talking about real cars with real engines on a real road with real traffic and real people. I have no idea how Aaron's going to do it with five young girls. I really don't. I have two, and he's got five girls, and not one of them more than a year or two apart. God bless him. He's going to need lots of prayer. And I tell you, though you can't imagine it now with young kids, you too will be sitting in that passenger seat and you will be training your daughters to drive and you'll be holding on to your chair and pushing your foot through the floorboards when you're trying to put on the brake. Yeah, how do you explain blind spots to a new driver? You know, we came on a really close call with Olivia at one point in time when she had her learner's permit, and I literally grabbed the wheel. She got very upset with me. "Daddy, why are you grabbing my wheel?" I said, "Because you almost hit that car." "I didn't even see that car." That's called a blind spot. That's called a blind spot. You learned firsthand what a blind spot is. I tell you, talk about something that'll make you dependent on prayer. Well, dependence on our own abilities can often leave us blind, totally blind, to the dangers that can creep up on us without our knowledge or awareness because we're so caught up in our own abilities. And they catch us by surprise. Paul tells us that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our abilities, that we are to be devoted to prayer with watchfulness to navigate life's obstacles and stay on the right course. We're to pray with, as he tells us, with dependence, total dependence on him in thankfulness. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, John records some of Jesus' very last instructions to his disciples before he was led to slaughter at the hands of the Romans. Knowing how distraught and how alone they would feel after he was gone, Jesus gives his disciples one last teaching for them to hold on to, an encouragement to them. I'm going to be reading from the 15th chapter of John, beginning in verse 5. Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus was telling his disciples that a true believer connected to the true vine will never perish, will never be directionless, will never be lost at sea. A branch unconnected to the source of life will wither and die. It'll produce no fruit. This is what it's like when we depend solely on our own abilities. We become disconnected to God in prayer. We lose the ability to produce fruit. As true followers of Jesus, our goal must be to bear fruit for the kingdom, to bring glory to God as a result. Isn't that why we do everything anyway? It's ultimately about him. It's ultimately to bring him glory. Which brings me to my fourth and my final point this morning. When we pray, we're to pray with a sense of mission. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Paul says to pray that we would open a door for the message, to speak the mystery of the Messiah, so that it may be revealed as we are called to speak it. Paul understood well that this world is not our home. His present circumstances in that prison did not define him. He was on a mission. As long as God chose to keep him alive, he was here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as his chosen ambassador to the Gentiles and anybody else who would listen. Amazing, amazing when you think about all that Paul was going through. His request is powerful for us as well. When we pray, in addition to praying with watchfulness, in addition to praying with thankfulness, in addition to praying with utter dependence on the one who created us, Paul is telling us that we should pray that the mission of the church would continue so that more people will hear the gospel and be saved. Have you ever prayed? Have you ever prayed that God would use this church at Severn Covenant Church at 20 Gambrels Road? Pastor Ryan, the elders, each and every one of you, have you ever prayed that God would use us to further his kingdom, to preach the gospel so that people will hear it, their hearts will be opened, and they will be saved? What would it be like if we, like Paul, realized that this world and all of its troubles are not our home? What if we devoted ourselves to pray that God would build his kingdom right here among us? I think we would see lives changed. Lives changed. I think we would see those who call on the name of Jesus to grow in that calling. And we would see people who are blind to the truth with the scales fall from their eyes. And they too go from death to life. The power of prayer, to pray with a mission. Sometimes we get frustrated in prayer. Some of you may say, Mark, I've been praying faithfully for years, waiting for God to move in my life, but nothing happens. My prayers, they go unanswered. Well, let me reassure you of something. God always answers prayer. He always answers prayer. Sometimes he answers them immediately to his praise and to his glory. Sometimes, however, no answer is his way of saying, not now. There are many things that we ask for that may not be good for us. They may even be harmful to us. If we're not ready to receive them, it's better that we not receive them. But more often than not, when we think God is not answering our prayers, it's because God is simply saying no. Who are we to judge the mind of God? Jesus assured us that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. Paul himself, bound in chains for the gospel, desired to be set free so that he could go out among the people and preach the gospel. But instead, bound in chains, under guard, he had to do it by writing letters. Letters to the churches, letters that have survived to this day and carry on his mission through the millennia, long after Paul walked on this earth. What if God had answered his prayer? We might not have the gospel today. He also prayed that God would remove the thorn from him. But we know that that prayer was never answered. Who are we to judge the mind of God? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed earnestly to the Father, "Father, please remove this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done." He prayed earnestly that God would remove the suffering from him, but he conceded that it wasn't up to him, that sometimes the Father's going to say no. And you see, had God the Father granted Jesus' prayer, there would be no salvation for you and for me. Because Jesus endured the cross to pay the penalty for our sins past, our sins present, and those that we will commit tomorrow, we can boldly stand before a just God, judged not based on our own sins, but based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who went through unbelievable suffering and pain, though he asked it to be removed on our behalf. This Jesus, who I can think of no better place than in the first chapter of Colossians to describe who this Jesus is. If I could have the worship team come up. Paul tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. We're talking about Jesus here. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. The prayer of this Jesus, who created all things and holds the universe in place, was denied by the Father to his purpose, that we might live forever. There is one prayer, though, one prayer that I promise you, Scripture assures us, will never be denied. And that prayer can be found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. Yes. Yes. You know, if you're here for the first time, or if you're not certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you die today, that you'd be with the Lord, make this your first prayer. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, there's good news, church. You will be saved. You will go from death to life. You will spend an eternity with the God who made you, the God who loves you, the God who sacrificed his only son that all this could be possible. If God is calling you to himself today, pray this prayer. And let us rejoice with you. Don't let today pass without answering that call in prayer. It's the one prayer that will be answered in an instant. Amen.